Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that the world somewhere will soon make a change. We are all a part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the children. We are the
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it. It has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death...
Dr. Martin Luther King saying that we shall overcome. Dr. King was talking about the struggle down in Mississippi and Arkansas, and even the struggle here in Chicago and Detroit, Los Angeles, Ohio, and the murder and the killing that's going on. Don't forget, this is the Dr. Martin Luther King movement. We're getting ready to go into March. Prayer is the key to unlock the door. And I want to tell you tonight, you should have a testimony. And the reason I say that, look what happened in slavery when our ancestors had to pick cotton, chop cotton, pull corn, and do all that kind of work. And we're still not on top. We're still killing each other, still hating each other. So we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. You know, and I tell people all the time, prayer changes things. And once you understand that, the young lady come to me, I prayed for her. She went to the doctor. The doctor said, there wasn't nothing wrong with her. Kept saying something was wrong with her. Prayed for her again. And the doctor told her again, there's nothing wrong with you. So we have to trust in God. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. Now, this is the Dr. King movement. One of our themes for 2022, free Jeff Ford, a political prisoner, free Larry Hoover, a political prisoner, the Dr. King movement, SCLC, Marcus Garvey movement, Malcolm X movement, and MLK movement. Now, what I'm saying to you, we have to be able to take our young folks to another level with our education. You see what's going on over in Russia. white folks killing each other, bombing each other. And it ain't gonna stop because it's a violent street. But all we can do as black folks, pray and able to get our folks together where we might be able, our kids to go to school, get education, and be able to do something to help. Prayer changes things. I got Mother Pearl, and she's going to give a testimony right now. I'm waiting on Mary Hawkins to come to read, but I'm going to let Mother Pearl. Mother Pearl, God bless you tonight.
I accept your blessing.
Huh?
I accept your blessing.
Yeah, I want to tell you this here, say this to you before you give your testimony. You know, you come out the South. You was down in Louisiana. Your mother and family had a hard time. And any black come from down South back in the day, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, they had it hard. So, but God placed you in Detroit. No, and as God placed you in Detroit, it's for a testimony like, you didn't know you'd be testifying to thousands of people listening in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, anywhere you talk, people listening to you. So I want to say to people, wherever they might be, testimony is the truth. When you tell the truth, like Mahalia Jackson said, he got the whole world in his hand. She didn't lie. Harriet Tubman was the Underground Railroad, taking people out of the South, bringing them to Chicago, bringing them to Detroit. All that was divine will of God. Now, I prophesy there'd be rumors and rumors of war. Now, we got a war over there right now, Russia fighting. But before the year gone, we're going to have a fight between Israel and Iran. We're going to have a war that's in the Middle East. But the Bible said there'd be wars and rumors of war. What that tell us? That we must stand together as human beings. And we must let God guide us and direct us. You know, when I talk about Dr. King, he gave his life up for us. And he was murdered, like Malcolm X was murdered. Dr. King was murdered because Dr. King wanted a better life for me, you, and all blacks. And it was somebody that was evil, didn't want that to carry out. But if God in it, he's going to carry it out. Now, I want to say to all people that lost loved ones, there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. And when you got a testimony, like they said, testify, what you're doing, you're helping somebody else when you tell them your story, when you tell them what happened to you. Some of them, I know the guy told me that he used to have sugar sandwiches down South. He said he used to have a sugar and light bread. And he said sometimes he had peanut butter. But sometimes he didn't have nothing. So we done come a long way. We ain't got time to be listening. Yeah. We done come a long way. And you know, if some people ain't had nothing to eat, one lady told me that go out and hunt rabbits. If he didn't get no rabbits or catch nothing, they would have nothing to eat. And so we've come a long way to black folks. We can't give up. And our young folks don't know how hard it is, how hard it was when you were sharecropping, when you were working for somebody else and they give you 50 cents a week, $100 a week, and tell you to shut up because you're on their land. Okay? And this is kind of things that God has brought us to a spiritual level. And I want Mother Pearl to testify. Mother Pearl, you're on there to testify now.
Give it the honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm happy that I was able to get on tonight. And I don't know, for some reason, all this week, especially today, I've been feeling real, real good. And I think so about my husband, but I loved him, but God loved him best.
Amen.
And I had told the Lord to please let him go because he was suffering. And that's the same way about my sister. I asked the Lord to please let her go. And I feel good. And I listened at you last night about the morning batch. I stayed on the morning batch for the 10th night. And the 10th night, that's when I came off of it. I was 9 years old. And my mother then told me, she said, just say, Lord, have mercy. And I used to say that every day. And it was a lady down there praying for me. And, Lord, that night when I came through, that was the best night I seen. And I feel good tonight. And I'm thank God for everything he did for me and for my family. Lord knows I am. And I thank Bishop for being who he is.
Amen.
And I really thank him, thank him, thank him. And I feel good. I thought I was gonna lose my mind one time, but I had to stop eating. I couldn't eat nothing but a little bit, and that would be in late in the evening. But now I eat like a dog. And I thank God that I'm able to eat again. And I thank Bishop for praying for me and everybody that praying for me, and I pray for myself. And I thank you, and I thank God most of all.
I want to thank you for that. That was Mother Pearl in Detroit, and Mother Pearl had told me that she's on the morning bench. And Mother Pearl, I got on the morning bench, and they said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I was on now for a week. I'm just, thank you, Jesus. And I said, if I see the mother kids falling, shouting, hollering, and screaming, and kicking, I said, I ain't going to get in there because something hitting me. If it don't hit me, I ain't going to do nothing. My grandmother came over and said, thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands up, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Nothing happened. And I thought that was, you had to come again. And I stayed on the morning break for 2 weeks. And, they, you know, they had a lot of other kids. And other kids were getting it. They played basketball with us. They was in school. They come back. I got the Holy Ghost last night. And they tell me it was like a badge of honor. Everybody getting the Holy Ghost. You know, they shouting and jumping and going on. It's a sight to see. When people get the Holy Ghost, some of them talk in tongues, you know, Baba Shaka, and just get the Holy Ghost. And I just feel that even Dr. King that spoke, he had anointing on his life. And I found out Dr. King, daddy was a preacher. His daddy was a preacher. He come out of an anointed family. And his mother, she was a church lady, and her daddy was a preacher. So he had ministering all around him, okay? So when he had the minister all around him, that made him, he was gifted from God, Dr. Martin Luther King. And when he said that we can overcome, he believed that in his heart. So, sometimes you got to see something got to happen. That Mother Pearl said she feel good. But Mother Pearl, I want to say to you, you done come a long way. Young women can sit under you and learn just to hear you talk about how God has kept you and healed you. When you didn't understand, God healed your body, mind, soul, and spirit. God healed you from the crown of your head to the bottom of your feet. And that's what this is all about. It's all about healing. It's about salvation. And you know what else is about? It's about deliverance. You know, when God can heal your body, when the doctor said you can't get well and God heal your body, you got to tell somebody. That the doctor said, one lady, she had knots down in her womb. And the doctor said they didn't know what to do. And she began to pray. And Mother Frances down in New Orleans fixed up a potion for her to dish in. All those bumps or whatever it was fell out of her body. She got it because she was messing with the wrong man. And he was dressed. Somebody know what I'm talking about. He was dressed up from somebody else. And it was falling on her. I want to say tonight, God is good and God will keep you. You know, when I talk about Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, King was murdered for us. Dr. King didn't have to do all that. He had a degree with a doctor. He wrote books. But he stayed saying, we want civil rights. Malcolm, we asked who killed Malcolm. Malcolm X was killed. The police didn't know it. That everybody knows that them boys they put in jail didn't kill Malcolm. Malcolm X was killed because he wanted human rights. And he was killed because he was talking about people being, get healed and delivered. So you can't run from the truth. You can't run from the truth. Let me tell that again. You got to make up your mind that you're going to let God in your life. That you're going to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, whatever they may be, and give me a walk that I might help somebody. See, Dr. King was gifted from God. Malcolm had went to prison, but he was a pimp. But after he went to prison, he got hooked up with Elijah Muhammad and come out, started reading books. He didn't go to no college. Reading books and just doing something. You ain't got to have no master's degree to love God. You ain't got to have no PhD for God to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, my grandmother used to say, if you just come to church, God will give you all the education you want. And they had them young folks lined up. They said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And they just falling out, shouting. They go back to school the next day. Oh, honey, I got the Holy Ghost. I got it last night. And yet some of them didn't get it, you know. So I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night, about the Holy Ghost and how it operates. But tonight, I ask for prayer for many of you. And if you got to need your plant of seed and have a ministry, SCLC, Martin Driver Movement, Malcolm X Movement, Martin Luther King Movement. And, you know, we're trying to get brothers out of jail because Jim Crow put them in there. Racism put them in there. We're still dealing with racism. And Dr. King talked about feeding the hungry. Dr. King talked about clothing the naked. You know, I want to say this here tonight. This is Black History Month. You know, if Dr. King hadn't did what he did, we wouldn't be getting no food stamps. Wouldn't be getting no checks. They weren't getting people checks to Dr. King and started telling them. They weren't getting no Social Security back in the day. They weren't giving no food stamps back in the day. They weren't giving women nothing for their children back in the day. You go out and rabbit hunt, go out and fish, and brought some home down in Mississippi. Down in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Down in Natchez, Mississippi. Down in Jackson, Lexington, Durant. All down there. Tunica, Mississippi. Them people were starving to death. Dr. King did a tour down there. Them people didn't even have shoes to wear. We done come a long way. Down in Louisiana, people were starving. They had to go out and fish and hunt. If they didn't go out and fish and hunt, they didn't have nothing. Okay? And they grow a little crop, you know, and make a little sugar cane and a little syrup. And, you know, some of you are trying to act like you're so big that you eat some rice and some white back syrup and biscuits, and that was a meal. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you, the house, when it rains, you got to put buckets down because it's leaking the tin top out. It started raining. Tick, 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 tick. You got to go get buckets to put down, okay? If you didn't kill no hog, and now you got so big that I don't eat hog, you're going to give me high blood pressure. It didn't give you high blood pressure back in the day eat hog chitlin, guts, everything, hog toes, hog ears, everything. It's from the rooter to the tooter, you ate the hog. But now you done got to Chicago. Oh, I got high blood pressure. What was your blood pressure when you was in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, down in North Carolina, South Carolina? You let your mind be psyched out. You get psyched out. You know, a lot of people say, well, when I get to Chicago, I'm going to do better. They get drunk. They do everything. When I get to Detroit, I'm going to be better. And they at work. They go find the dope man. Find the rock man. They do all of that. Dr. King died. America helped. There's a lot of them died. In Birmingham, the little girls, Sunday school, because of racism, white supremacy. That's what happened. Tonight, we're going to talk about the death of Dr. King and the death of Malcolm X. But we have Sister Mary Hawkins to read the 23rd number psalm. And I think that psalm, my grandma used to read it, and people in the church used to stand up and read, and made us, we had to know the 23rd number psalm in Sunday school. And I think when you go to Sunday school down south, they make you learn the Bible. But now kids don't even go to church. You know, that means they're so bad when they're killing, robbing, because they left God out of it. And they don't respect the elf. Last night, a little boy, 16, somebody followed him on the hill, shot him 3-4 times, and broke and run. Murder. We have kids that murdering other kids. And only way you're going to stop it is prayer. I want to thank Pearl for her testimony. And Pearl says that she remember that morning bank. Some of y'all, I'm going to talk about tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the morning bank. I'm going to talk about the school they put you in, on the corner, put your dump hat on you. I mean, you're dumb. We're going to talk about all that stuff. You know, talk about back in the South, you got hand-me-down book. The white folks got the book first, then you get the book. They'd be raggedy. And the book still out of the raggedy book, raggedy lawyer, they become leaders. And they were getting secondhand grade. If it wasn't for Dr. King, we wouldn't have kids going to college, getting grants. You know, you're getting grants. Dr. King marched for you to get Social Security, for you to get welfare, for you to get food stamps, for you to get medical, for help. Dr. King did that. He died because people didn't stick with him. But that's what he did. That's his legacy. Feed the hungry, close the naked. If Dr. King was living right now, his issue would be stop the war, stop the killing, innocent people. He didn't care what color they were, but war is wrong. When you killing your brother with machine guns, dropping bombs, that's wrong. So God said high and God lived low. And this is what Dr. King said. I can play a little bit of Dr. King tonight.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but
Dr. King said he was going to jail for nothing because he was being black. But I guess this song, I'm going to let Mary read the 23rd number psalm. She's been reading the whole month. And we read the 23rd number psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, Mary, you can read the 23rd number psalm. Get the radio off.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Mary, thank you for that prayer, for that 23rd number of Psalms. And Mary's been reading it all the month. And I know it helped her. Sometimes you got to read the scriptures in order to get what God got for you. Sometimes you got to pray. And I know when Pearl testify, somebody always calls, I enjoy that testimony. Young lady said, where's the lady supposed to read something? I said, she'll be on. You don't know who's waiting. People listening to this broadcast down in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, over in Texas, Ohio, Minnesota. People be calling, and they be looking for something. And I want to tell you tonight, the truckers on their way to Washington, the black independent truckers. They're on their way. They're asking for gas for those trucks. And Dr. King died. Malcolm was murdered, and Dr. King was murdered. I just want you to know what happens, so you might understand what happened to them. And well, you might, even as you listen tonight, all is well. Now, I want to say to you tonight, I want Mary to continue the 23rd number Psalm, and I want Pearl to continue testifying because it helped so many people. I don't know that many people were listening. They called in and said, Mother Pearl, what she said, she's talking about me. Then the lady said, I want to hear the 23rd number because I've been going through something. People losing their sons, their daughters. Some of them died of COVID. You don't know how serious this is tonight when you pray for people, when you give the people the word. They're hungry for the word. The church has been closed down. Preachers ain't doing nothing now. But now, as they come on the radio, they're listening, you know, and they get the word from God. And that's important, that they come and listen to the word of God and they get blessed. And that's important, that they get the word of God, and they get something, and something work for them. That's good. So when they get the word of God. And I had a Malcolm X on, and Malcolm X was talking about what happened to him. You know, it's a lot going on, and we have to stay in front of it and know that God has guided us to a certain level where we might be able to know that God is with us and God is guiding us and carrying us to the level where we need to go, you know, and that's important. When Malcolm began to meet, and I asked the question, who killed Malcolm? Nobody could tell me.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Barry Gray in the WMCA studios in New York. In a moment, we're going to join our listeners in Buffalo on WBNY.
Articulate, perceptive, courageous, outspoken. Just a few of the adjectives that so inadequate. Articulate, perceptive, courageous, outspoken. Girls a chance to feel that they were doing something without really having to do anything. It became a status symbol. Just like going to the Kentucky Derby is a status symbol for those who know nothing about horses. They like to be able to say they went to the Kentucky Derby and they can't tell a horse from a cow. Or the Rose Bowl game. They like to be able to say they went to the Rose Bowl game and they don't know a football from a baseball. But the fact that they can say they went to the Rose Bowl game is a status symbol. Or the fact that they can say they went to the Kentucky Derby is a status symbol. So many Negroes took the opportunity to say that they were in the March on Washington. Not that it produced anything. Well, not that they really felt that they were involved in a Negro revolution, but it gave them a chance to say, I was there. It was a status symbol. But status symbols don't take us out of the alleys and out of the ghettos and out of the slums. Status symbols don't remove segregated school systems. Status symbols don't get meaningful civil rights legislation. So when it comes to the March on Washington and all of these other nonviolent approaches, they were good in their day. But this is a new day, and it's a new Negro.
But we have to agree, Minister Malcolm, that the March on Washington was the forerunner to the creation of, or at least to the presentment of, the Civil Rights Bill. Without this type of approach, I doubt seriously that the Civil Rights Bill would have even been entered onto the floor.
A horse can enter into the race and come so far from the finish line that you don't even know that that horse is in the race. And since the March on Washington was designed to produce meaningful civil rights legislation, and if I recall, I heard several of the leaders of it point out that we'll be back if the bill meets with any kind of opposition come September. They said this in August. Now, September passed, and the bill, it didn't even come up. October passed, November passed, December passed, the year passed, everything passed, and the bill hasn't been passed yet.
Are you saying that you feel a more violent approach to it would cause this bill to be passed?
It's not a piece of violence. And I think that our people should never let themselves be trapped intellectually into thinking that whenever they do something to defend themselves against the violence of the white man, that they're being violent.
But you're advocating violence.
No, we're advocating the necessity of black people defending themselves against the violence of the white man, because the American government has already proven itself either unable or unwilling to defend us, as it should do.
Well, the white man hasn't gone out to create any marches, nor has he gone out to do anything that would make the people in the community feel that he was opposed by law to their thinking.
No, all he has done is fix his police dogs on innocent black women and babies. All he has done is put his fire hoses on innocent women and children, black women and children.
That's right.
Or all he has done is shoot Medgar Evers in the back.
Right.
Or he has bombed the church in Birmingham, Alabama, and murdered four innocent little girls.
That's
or
right.
He has shot down young boys from their bicycle as they were riding innocently through the street.
That's right.
That's all he has done.
Right. Well, you feel that this is a cause for the Negro to take on the violent act?
It's not a case of the Negro taking on a violent act, but it's a case of the Negro doing what is necessary to defend himself against the violent acts of the white.
Right.
Since the government has refused to defend the Negro.
Right.
The church was bombed and the government has done nothing about it.
Right.
Medgar Evers was murdered and the government has done nothing about it.
Right.
Emmett Till and Charles Max Potter were murdered and the government has done nothing about it.
Right.
But at the same time, the government is in South Vietnam trying to tell them what to do. The government is in Berlin trying to tell them what to do. The government is in Africa trying to tell them what to do. But it cannot get its own people here in Mississippi and Alabama and New York City and tell them what to do.
Mr. Malcolm X discusses human or civil rights.
Mr. Malcolm, I'd like to know why you place so much emphasis on calling the freedom struggle among Afro-Americans in this country a struggle for human rights rather than civil rights.
Well, most of our people don't even know the meaning of civil rights. And by not knowing what it is they're actually trying to get, it has eluded us for the past 100 years. Civil rights is supposed to mean citizenship. When you have civil rights, you have citizenship. When you have citizenship, you have civil rights. And if the 22 million Afro-Americans were actually citizens of this country, it wouldn't be necessary to pass any kind of additional legislation to include us in the Constitution. If you notice, whenever the people come here from Europe, they can come here from Poland, which is a communist country. They don't need any legislation to make this Polish person a citizen. They don't need any additional civil rights legislation to make the refugees from Hungary who come here a citizen. They don't need any additional legislation to make anyone who comes to this country a citizen. But when it comes to the rights of the black people who are the descendants of slaves, then immediately new legislation is necessary. So this right here implies that when the Constitution was written, in some way or other, it must have excluded those of us who were slaves at that time. And because we were excluded from the Constitution when it was originally written, today they have to amend it in order to include us. But if you notice, the Civil War didn't include us in the Constitution. Had the Civil War included us in the Constitution, we would be citizens today. Had the amendments even to the Constitution actually included us, we would be citizens today. If the Supreme Court desegregation decision way back in 1954 was sufficient to include us into the jurisdiction of the Constitution, all of our problems would be solved today. So there's something about civil rights that makes it almost impossible for us to get it. So you have to know the difference between civil rights and human rights.
As long as our people are begging for civil rights, or they are labeling their struggle for freedom, justice, and equality under the label of civil rights, then what they do is leave us in the jurisdiction of Uncle Sam's court. And it's actually Uncle Sam who is guilty of all of the violation of our rights that have taken place in this country. So when you go to Uncle Sam to try and get some kind of redress over civil rights violations, you're taking your case to the man who's responsible for the violation. So the only way our people can really get some meaningful results, it has to be taken out of Uncle Sam's hands and taken into a world court, and the world court that has been set up to listen to the complaints of human rights violations is in the United Nations. Human rights are international, and civil rights come within the jurisdiction.
The United Nations supposed to be stopping the war in Russia. The United States is all the countries together, or every country come together. When Hitler was killing all them folks, the United Nations come together and every country brought people in to fight Hitler. And Hitler killed 6 million Jews and burned them up. Now, what's happening today, Putin is killing innocent women and children, and they running, trying to find somewhere to stay. But if the government do what it's supposed to do, see, like when what happened in Haiti, when Haiti had the earthquake, I didn't see it on VON or CNN or NBC. And nobody rushed over to Haiti to get them people in there. Matter of fact, Biden sent a plane load of them back, but they let the Mexicans stay in. The people in Guatemala, he let them stay. But the Haitians and the Jamaicans, they put them on the plane and sent them back. So that lets you know there's a lot of racism going on in this country and in this world. But we got to stand tall. I want to say to you tonight before we go in and finish our civil rights, don't forget that you need to receive the financial, God's financial covenant, the financial wealth. Continue that. Genesis chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. Revelation. And I'm going to give you this hint to read, Pearl. Genesis chapter 12 and go down to 17. And read Proverbs chapter 4, 22. I want you to read that. Mary, I want you to continue on the 23rd number of Psalm, and I want you to read Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, 8, and 9. Tonight, I'm going to call you and see if you know what it said. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, 8, and 9. Okay. That's chapter 12, verse 7, 8, and 9. That's three verses that you got to read. Okay. Pearl, I already told you what to read. And Joanne, I want you to read Genesis, Revelation 22, 1. And Pearl, I want you to read Revelation 2 and 9. And I want you to get ready for this year for God to bless. This is Dr. King Movement, and with Dr. King talked about two countries, one white, one black. I want
human rights and civil rights, the challenge of the 21st century is quite a challenge. From all our studies, of course, history is best qualified and most attractive to reward our research. If we know what happened yesterday, we can intelligently discuss today, because today is built on yesterday, and tomorrow is built on today. And we should be intelligent enough that if we know what happened yesterday, that we are not likely to let the same thing go down again today. Our unity in sisterhood, brotherhood, and struggle is profound. of our people as our life scope, as struggle, as the method to achieve it. Our struggle is constantly and continuously against the oppressed and against all injustice, which is in contradiction to our values and the choice we've made. Choose the liberation of our people, and our choice is conscious, full, and free. All risk and welcome, all rewards and might bring. We have nothing better. Nothing better and more revolutionary and rewarding to do with our lives than to struggle. Struggle to bring into being a new world, a world in which we, our children, and our families can breathe and create and stand and walk in a warmer sun. This is Kawaita Kiapo. I want to begin with a note from Langston Hughes. Since at this time of the year, there is so much talk about the dream and the dream. Langston Hughes gives us this as it was made popular through Lorraine Hansberry, buried in A Raisin in the Sun. And it begins, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a thorn and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet bag, like a heavy load, or does it explode? Brothers and sisters, in a laboratory, no experiment is a failure. Even if the results of that experiment only prove that it can't be done that way, that experiment of the life and legacy of the man that we know to be Martin Luther King Jr., the experiment of that life was not a failure.
It was not a failure. It serves a fail today. Because even if it does nothing else, it tells us that it can't work that way. And when you find out in an experiment that it can't work that way, then the result
advances your research, and it should put you on firm footing towards real resolution and the best result that you might hope for. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., here 30 years ago, as he walked in Selma, Alabama, and worked in Selma, Alabama, and Birmingham, Chicago,
throughout the hills of North America, as the chairman or as the leader of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and Dr. King worked 30 years ago, it is written in the scriptures, what greater love could a man have or a woman than to lay down their life for their brother, for their sister, for their friend?
Dr. King laid down his life for us. And if for no other reason, we must honor him for laying down his life for us. But we must analyze. And we, as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, teaches us that it is after one has made the transition, after they have made the transition to what some call death, but what others call to the realm of the ancestors of the Egungun, then a period can be placed behind the testament of that life. And then we can carefully and critically make an analysis of that life. Dr. King laid down his life for us. Dr. King believed in the moral conscience of the white.
And since we're talking about civil rights and human rights here tonight, I think it's fitting that we begin right there. He believed in the moral conscience of the white. But I'm here tonight at TNJ to tell you
Man breaks my legs and then has a race and then
sits on the Supreme Court bench named Clarence Thomas, standing always against his people and always for the enemy who put him there, staring to a big dinosaur looking white woman. Looks like he's going home to Jurassic Park every time he comes home. They're going to have to get on a step ladder just to get some sugar from that big tall white woman. I don't know why we do that. Don't know why we do that. Go and get the biggest, ugliest white woman we can find. Clarence Thomas is a hug on one side and the feet are so big and then run around and hug on her. 30 years. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. There's a rise in the Ku Klux Klan. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the dream of the dreamer and his civil rights. 30 years after the minister fell from that surprise Malik El Shabazz, Brother Uwale, and his dream of human rights. 30 years thereafter, white man still considers us three-fifths of a human being. At the million men march, we as well on those millions to a million and a half, maybe 2 million, convened by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The first foolishness was talking about separating the messenger from the message, which came out by message. Yes, he popularized the message about separating the messenger from the message. Close to a million and a half, 2 million. Then the crackers say he saw 400,000. Why? It's because the cracker was still counting us as three-fifths of a human being. He got mixed up on the fractions. Got the fractions mixed up. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 30 years after Martin Luther King Jr. Arise in the Ku Klux Klan. Arise in the Aryan Brotherhood. Arise in the American Arise in skinhead. Arise in militia group. Arise in right-wing paramilitary hate organizations and hate groups and night riders and day riders that have existed during Reconstruction. 30 years after Martin Luther King Jr., the Supreme Court has handed down a ruling in various states across the country. 30 years after Minister Malcolm X, Brother Uwale, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, one believing in civil rights, one believing in human rights. 30 years after both of them, Malcolm said we must vote in a solid block. Said we must vote in a black, solid block. 30 years after the Supreme Court has handed down a decision ruling it unconstitutional. So you can have what they call majority, minority, voting bloc. And so gerrymandering and free maneuvering, and so now they're taking all black districts, brown districts, and dumping them over into bigger white districts to put up your black voting bloc, which lets you know that you can register to vote all the hell you want to, but voting will never get your behind out of this condition. Running around looking for hope. Some of you, you don't have to clap for me. You say, well, he's stepping on some toes now. I know they got that camera running. I don't want the camera to catch me. Applaud, I'm really with these folks. I'm with those folks. Nigga, you should be with the truth. Stand up, brother. Stop your dilly-dally. Stop a pussy foot. Stop beating around the bush, tiptoeing through the tulip. Speak the truth regardless of circumstance, and then stand up on the truth from the greater cradle to the grave. That's your divine responsibility and duty to our people here, generations yet unborn, and to our ancestors who have gone on. That's your duty, and that's your responsibility. So, the voting block being busted up today. Unconstitutional to have a so-called majority, minority voting 30 years after Dr. King. The white man is killing us, it appears, like never before. You talk about sleep. You talk about the revolution. You talk about lynching. But when he kills, are you supposed? When he kills a Philip there, when he kills an Esther, when he kills a Brother Aqua, when he kills a Jerry Gaming and a Yusuf May Love, when he pulls the trigger and kills a Johnny Gammon, a Johnny Gammon, or when he kills a Tyrone Lewis, St. Petersburg, or Pittsburgh, or wherever we are, it's three over here, it's five over there, it's 10 here, it's 20 there, it's 50 over there.
This America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, culture and education for their minds, freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. Tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. And this other America has a daily ugliness about it.
War crimes.
Russia's ambassador to the UN denying his country's troops are targeting civilian infrastructure.
We do not have credible reports on civilian casualties. Of course, war is a bad thing and anything can happen. But to consider those reports credible is very difficult.
Over the weekend, Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered his country's nuclear arms be put on high alert. The U.S. State Department today calling it provocative and dangerous.